Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and we're going into talking about two essential elements and the way to present this stuff. It's just beyond belief. When you start to look at the essential elements of what has to be there, and one of the things is sine qua non. That is a killer. Or conditional sine qua non. What is sine qua non? S-I-N-E space Q-U-A space O-N-O-N. It is a way in to take terms, definitions, essential elements, to put them in a, like an equation, a mathematical equation. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 can't equal on the right side without the 1, either one of those on the other side, and the plus. And sine qua non means an indispensable requisite or condition. The thing... that which the thing cannot be. A really powerful statement. Most powerful one I've seen in logic. Subject to. You see this all the time. What does subject to mean? We see it in the 14th Amendment, subject to the jurisdiction. We see it in the IRS tax code, subject to. What does it mean? The term subject to means, this is in several cases, liable, comma, subordinate, comma, subservient, comma, inferior, comma, obedient to, semicolon, governed or affected by, semicolon, provided that, semicolon, provided, semicolon, answerable. Any one of those has a meaning in subject to. So we see subject to, then we don't know what really needs, what it has to be established, which one of those essential elements of the term subject to is true. We have to know the answer to that. We get into person. In the definition, in Title 26, 7701, A1, person, the term, mean and include, it's got to be an individual. You have to, they have to establish you're an individual or a trust or an estate or a partnership or an association or a company or a corporation. Which one am I? And an individual means just somebody out of mankind. Well, that's really definitive. That's anybody on planet Earth. So anybody on planet Earth could be a taxpayer. Really. Now, how would we put that into a legal argument, like an equation? How would we do that? Here's the way it's done. There's got to be a determination that you're a taxpayer. Before, this is the really an important thing. Got cases on this where it says, by the way, in our world, the world we live in, we think we live in, there has to be a probable cause. The cops are not supposed to be harassing us unless there's probable cause. FBI, nobody's supposed to, there's got to be a probable cause of something. They just can't say, oh, I don't like you, Ralph, and come pound on me. Probable cause is a major part of our constitutional republic. Probable cause. It does not exist, the courts have said, for the IRS. Now, there is a major damn statement. Why doesn't probable cause exist for the Internal Revenue criminals? What's different? That's a major thing that affects, that's all agencies are this way. People can start to grasp the concept. They operate on the courts have said, they have the IRS has the power of inquisition. That's the power to inquire, to investigate, not to accuse, to investigate. Okay, so what's the standard that would allow an agency the power of inquisition, not probable cause, that I'm a taxpayer, the power of inquisition? If I am a taxpayer, it has to be determined that I am a taxpayer. That has to be made before the power of inquisition by the IRS can proceed. How do they get that? Well, I know how they get it. It's right in Minnesota. Because it's under the public rights doctrine. You have no constitutional rights. Because you signed up for it to be a voter. Says so. A taxpayer is a voter, and a voter is under the public rights doctrine. And you are under you owe the public, the government. Well, what the hell? Wait a minute. How did I lose where I am? What I am? My soul. How did I lose that? Because we keep signing up for it. But the IRS, this is so important. The Internal Revenue criminals, the IRS, has a power of inquisition. I don't doubt it for one bit. But what trips it? What must be established before? You have to be a taxpayer. If it is established you are a taxpayer, then it is true the IRS has the power of inquisition. And to be a taxpayer, you got to be a citizen of the United States. That we can prove. But why don't they have to have probable cause? You see, if there was a known legal duty, which I have the courts have said that known, if there's a known legal duty of the question, that's a question of law. They never use it. Nobody ever uses it. I don't know why. It boggles the mind. There is no known legal duty because we have this mirror image of this public rights doctrine where we keep signing up unknowingly, unwittingly, saying, I don't want to have any inalienable rights. I don't want to be tied to that damn creator. Why would I want to have inalienable rights to him or the Messiah? Why would I want to do that? Why do I need a constitution of the several states or a constitution of the United States? Why do I need it? I don't want any of that. That's what we're doing. They need our consent. They must establish before the power of inquisition by the IRS that you are a taxpayer. The federal courts can't do it. That's under Title 28 U.S.C. 2201 because it would blow the lid off this whole scam. The IRS can't do it. It's under 601-201 and Title 26. That's CFR. Those are procedural regs. They have no force and effect of law. That's just what we're supposed to be doing. Could do if we wanted to do it, but we don't do private letter stuff, so it's just irrelevant. The only way they can get us to be a damn taxpayer is by fear and getting us by the power of subordination of perjury to sign up. It's the only way they can get you. But you have to know how this trap is set. It's subordination of perjury to put the fear of you or what you think you know that's not so to put you outside of our adversarial constitutional republic into going to an external establishment. The tax court is external establishment. They say so. It's established that way. It's still that way. It sits outside the government. It's part of the headless fourth branch of government, FDR. I got a 400-page thing on that. Because FDR never saw an agency he didn't love. But they were taking away his executive power, so they brought in the Administrative Procedures Act after the 1937 research. How do I use these inquisitorial entities and still have control? So how do I put this into a... This is the definition of a taxpayer. Let's read the term. And how would I put this to? Because the thing is, these are essential elements. So what is a taxpayer? It's got to be. Let me bring it up here. Find the definition of a taxpayer where it reads it just directly. What is a taxpayer? It is... got to get up here. There's three things to it. But let me find the top of it here. What is a taxpayer? I'm going to read it just exactly so that I read it without any questions on a taxpayer. The term taxpayer, this is in Title 26, USC 7701A14. The term taxpayer. Okay, when it's a term, it means explicitly whatever's there is there. You can't add, subtract, or interpret. Means any person. Okay, any person is the first essential element that must be established. Subject to is the second essential element. Any internal revenue tax is the third essential element. All three of these essential elements must be determined to be a taxpayer. So, we have what's the person? That's the first one. What does that one mean? It's defined, 7701A1. The term person shall be construed to mean and include. It's got to be. So one of these got to be true. This is the first essential element. It has to be true. You got to be an individual or a trust or an estate or a partnership or an association or a company or a corporation. That is the first essential element. The next essential element that must be proven, this comes right out of the cases and stuff, is subject to. I got to be the all of those first ones. There's one of those has to be selected. And then the next thing you put in and. Okay, the next thing that has to be proven. Am I liable? Am I an individual liable? Am I an individual subordinate, an individual subservient, an individual inferior, obedient to, governed, or affected by, or provided that, provided, or answerable? Those are all part of the second essential element. That must be proven. Got to be. They have to disclose one of those. So we have, let's see, how many options we got on the first one? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we got 7 options that have to be, one of those has to be selected. The next one, subject to, there is, let's see, how many there? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 10. So we got 7 of the first essential element and 10 of the second essential element has to be proven. And then the next one is the essential element is any internal revenue tax. And there are 5 of those. Subtitle A, income taxes, or is it subtitle B, estate gifts, or is it subtitle C, employment taxes, which can't be, by the way, there's no a deficiency in subtitle C because that is a statutory employer. Subtitle D, which is miscellaneous excise taxes, we can throw that out, or subtitle E, alcohol, tobacco, and certain excise taxes. So there are 5. So we have, what is it, 7 and 10 and 5. Oh, somebody's got to make a decision. How did they arrive at this? So how do you put that into a legal statement? Here's the way it's done. Anyone making a determination that this is McAlpine is a taxpayer, as the term is defined in 26 U.S.C. 7701A14, is evidenced by the following use of terms and definitions, colon. Number one, that's the first essential element in brackets. Any person, individual or a trust, or an estate or a partnership or an association or a company or a corporation, and the semicolon, and there's a second essential element, subject to, is liable, subordinate, inferior, obedient to, governed, or affected by, or provided that, or provided, or answerable, semicolon, and the third essential element, any internal revenue tax in brackets. Is it subtitle A, or is it subtitle B, is it subtitle C, subtitle D, or subtitle E, is a sine qua non, whereon the essential elements must be determined if McAlpine is a taxpayer subject to the power of inquisition for taxpayers by Inquisitor Smith. That is a logical, a legal argument based on the essential elements using sine qua non like an equal sign. Those must be determined before we can proceed. They can proceed under the power of inquisition. Because if I'm not a taxpayer, that's the only thing that the IRS can operate under is the power of inquisition if I am a taxpayer. And the courts can't do it. So who's making that determination? It can't be made. It's an impossibility. They won't go there. I guarantee you they can't. Because what it is, which we can get out of Minnesota, it's under the public rights doctrine, which says it's taxation in the territories or where Congress has plenary power in the District of Columbia. Really? And where I sit under the government, I owe the public. Really? I don't think so. But we can make it even more more definitive. Because under the using the same thing here, let me get down to 7701 A23. You see, there's another problem. There's two other problems that they have that we can just kill them on. Is taxable year. They're stuck with it. They have to use taxable year. It's all over. It's another definition. What does taxable year mean? Let me read it up here. Let me find where I defined it. So I can get directly here. I'll pull it up. And taxable year. How can they get around that one? How do they do it? Because we don't know. We don't understand. Taxable year. It says the term taxable year means the calendar year. That's also in Title 26, 441. So some of these codes will go to 441 in this state. I think North Carolina did that. And calendar year is the same thing as taxable year, which is 12 months. Okay, big deal. But it's another hook. You got to know the hook. What does it say? Means upon the calendar year, fiscal year ending, blah, blah, blah. Upon the basis of which the, that's a modifier in the front. Here's the killer. Taxable income, they all use it, Section 63, that's an essential element, is computed. That is Section 3, that's the taxes, how do you get it? Under Subtitle A. Or you can look at it another way, taxable income is a subject and is computed under Subtitle A is the predicate. What happens to the subject? It's computed under Subtitle A. So any taxable income, which is all the deductions, all the gross income, who cares about that nonsense? It's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant, but it's not what the thing is. Is computed is subtitle 3. And it's got taxable year in it. It's got to be taxable year, says so. But the killer is under subtitle A. So now we know when they use taxable year or tax year. Back it up now.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs, which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Okay. We're back here, so we've got taxable year. It's always in the state code somewhere. Tax year, taxable year. It's always there, guaranteed. And what does it do? That term limits what you're dealing with the Internal Revenue criminals, strictly to what? Subtitle A. Because it says taxable income, that's Section 63, which is gross income minus all deductions. That's fine. That's 61. I don't give a... That's fine. Goes into sections 3, subtitle 3. Well, that's good because you got to figure out a way to do it. And this talks about it, hereby imposed for each taxable year. Thank you on the taxable income of every individual. Thank you. Taxable years ad nauseum in here. Can't get around it. But it says under subtitle A. That essential element limits it to under subtitle A, so we can throw out subtitle B, C, D, and F. So now we're under subtitle A. You can't have a taxable year for a year for their nonsense, except for under subtitle A. So then the next thing is, well, what has to exist if there's under subtitle A? And this is the coup d'etat. Withholding agent. 7701A16. There's got to be somebody to withhold, right? Withholding agents. The term withholding agent means any person. So we're back to, we got to go, is it in an individual corporation? Who all is going to do that? But then it says required to deduct and withhold. Required to deduct and withhold any tax Well, that's subtitle A, B, C, or D, or F, okay? Under the limitation of what provisions of, there are four subtitle entities, which is right in accord with the taxable year. 1441, non-resident aliens, 1442. Foreign corporation, 1443. Foreign organization, and 1461 is anybody that's doing it better be doing it to one of the three ahead, or if you want to be, otherwise you'll be liable. And otherwise you can be sued. So you put that into another sine qua non, and they're done. Because it says required to withhold any tax. Okay, please identify who is going to act as a withholding agent. Who's authorized to require and deduct? It says required and deduct. It says any person required to deduct and withhold any tax. Who is that? Please identify that. They're done. The ball game's over. They can't go there. Because it's any tax which covers anything. Because they got to make it so that if you're into stamp taxes and firearms and tobacco in subtitle F, that they could require to withhold it. That's why they put any tax in there, to hide it. Why don't they just put subtitle A? But of course, when they put subtitle A and they did a withholding act here, they limit it to strictly subtitle A because the only provisions are four subtitle A entities. We're done. So not even subtitle F works. Because F is done by stamp. This is done by withholding. It's done by stamp tax. So the question becomes, who is going to make the determination that you're a taxpayer to invoke and allow the power of inquisition under the public rights doctrine? That's the question. And I'm going to do more work on the public rights doctrine because I need to understand it yet how they, I know how they get us there. Because we keep signing up for it. Everybody in America has signed up for the public rights doctrine type of government. Because everybody signs up to be a citizen of the United States to vote. And that puts you under the plenary power of Congress. I've got it in two briefs that I found. The United States of America is a sovereign body politic. I've not found where it says the sovereign body politic is Congress, but who else can it be? Because, see, United States of America only showed up after 1913 when the several states, the Senate lost their standing, and we lost ours by being a citizen of the United States in 14 Stat 27 and 1866 with the 14th, and they played this little game on us. So the people have no standing, and the Senate is gone. And we agreed to it. It's unbelievable. So the question becomes then, which we have, which I know, is it's voluntary. They want us to volunteer to step into the public rights doctrine, abandon my inalienable rights to my Creator, abandon my constitutional secured rights in the, being a citizen of one of the several states, abandon the Constitution of the United States. They are forcing me by fear, subordination of perjury. Now we can prove it. Now my goal is to get these, work them into the states, but into the feds too, for each one of these states, so the states can leave people alone too. For those that want to learn, those that want don't learn, I don't have any interest. I'm sorry. Y'all go over to Niagara Falls and let me know how it turns out, maybe. I'm not even interested. I can't save. I'm not here. I'm not a savior. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Okay, so we're back here. So now with this laid out, I'm going to go over what are the essential elements of two things that get people in major trouble. What the Internal Revenue criminals. One is 7201, tax evasion. First essential element, the existence of a tax deficiency. Well, there can't be a tax deficiency because we just went through it. You got to be a taxpayer. You can't be. Nobody's made that determination. It can't be only Subtitle A. And the only people that can withhold in Subtitle A is for foreigners. Thank you. Nobody ever does this. These are terms, folks. The second one is willfulness. That's subjective.
Did you do this willfully or not? I don't know. Are you an Islamic devout Muslim? Willfully want to blow people up? Or
how do you make those determinations? You can't. Willfulness is nonsense. That's where the attorney spent. Oh, well, let's go in and do willfulness. And the other is an affirmative act constituting evasion or attempted. Oh, I filled out a Form 1040 and I put zero or something. Just don't bother. Don't do anything. They don't have any authority to do any of this nonsense before you get started. Mike in Colorado, question, comment on our subject.
You know, I've got a question for you, Ralph. I appreciate your intellect and your ability to go through this and help us. My question is, does informed consent have anything to do with implied in-law contracts?
Yes, it's supposed to. But so the thing is they don't, and that's another one thing, actually, in Alaska, because I'm going to be going after, they're going to be foreclosing, and I'm going to be going after the vehicles. It's against the law to steal property or to do this stuff without any authority to do it, without when you're fooling somebody. And you can use in the, I haven't got it researched out yet, but I'm getting this set up to get into the Federal Court of Claims, because if you do anything under duress, then filling out the implied in-law contract, which you're not informed of what's going on, of a 1040, you still have standing.
Got it. Okay, so
they have to tell you.
My train of thought, but no, yeah. That's perfect. That helps me a lot. I revoked my voter registration.
But you don't want to. You want to get around and get it into the public record, who you are, and then go register to vote as a citizen of Colorado.
There
you
go. You
want to vote for your republic.
I was going to do it on my driver's license.
Huh?
I was going to do it on the driver's license.
I did mine. I went in knowingly and just modified it in front of them. I scratched out citizen of the United States because in Alaska, a citizen, when you get a driver's license, the very next step in the code takes you directly to the National Registration Act in District of Columbia that you're a citizen of the United States. So why would I want to sign up for a driver's license to go directly into the Voter Registration Act in D.C., the citizen of the United States? What's going on here?
Colorado,
it's another form of consent. I have agreed that I'm going to be have this driver's license, and I'm a citizen of the United States, so I'm a fiction in law, and you can do anything you want with me.
Yeah, Colorado's exactly the same.
I'm
so what
sure
happened when you scratched it out?
They didn't do a thing. They didn't even blink. Because I was wanting
you to...
She didn't do a thing. She just went right on through, sailing right on through, never even blinked an eye.
Oh, perfect. So that'll work for me, too. Probably.
And I called it down here. We had one in Florida kicked out, I think. But I had one in when I went into the voter registration. I put in citizen of Alaska, and I said, you know, I'm doing this, and I want to give you a copy of this thing. And she said, oh, that's fine. She's irrelevant to it. But the gal there, I don't know why they allow it. Because what I do is I'm modifying the voter registration stuff, and they can't get me for fraud or anything because they don't have any right. They are denying us the right to the right of elective franchise. Your right of elective franchise is only as a citizen of Colorado, not as a citizen of the United States.
Right, exactly. Okay, good job. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Okay, yep.
Bye.
So, we get to willful or tax evasion, the assistance of a tax deficiency. We just covered that. They can't go there because you got to be a taxpayer. They can't make that determination. If you're a taxable year, there's got to be some taxable year involved, and that's strictly Subtitle A. And there's got to be a withholding agent. It's only for foreigners in Subtitle A. Okay, the next one's willfulness. Don't go there. It's subjective. It's not objective. How do you factually, in my mental mind, right, that's willfulness. Nonsense. An affirmative act. Okay, I did something. I filled out a form, and you can still get around that. You put out a zero return, or you did all kinds of other whatevers, scratched out penalties of perjury and all this other nonsense. The existence of a tax deficiency. They can't get around it. I got to quit saying they can't. Let's put it this way. If you do the term definitions, the courts, by their own stuff, they're bound to stop. They have no authority to go beyond a term definition. That's the end of the inquiry, and that's the way that I am proceeding now. But it takes a lot of time to sit down and research out this, put these in, but in this, the IRS, it's the definition of taxpayer, taxable year, and withholding agent, and you're done. Definition of taxpayer is it, technically, if you want to go there. But I'm trying to make this so that it'll, when they get these letters or these different things, you can modify it. I've got one wrapper that I'm working on Minnesota on the criminal side. The bottom line is to get the judge, because the thing is, these trials by jury are not trials by jury according to the course of the common law, because the essential elements is not given, and the evidence supplied is not say, oh, well, the essential element, the we are establishing here because you have a bank account, this is the essential element of wild. They don't do that. You are paraded in a trial by jury, the kangaroo one that looks like one, but it's an inquisitorial thing, a whole bunch of non-essential facts that have nothing to do with the essential elements of the crime. They can't believe this. How did they pull us off with all these intelligent people running around our country? I don't know. If I can figure it out, how come other people can't figure it out? This is what they do. Okay, what's the essential element of willful failure to file? That's one. We want you to file. What are the essential elements of willful failure to file? There's got to be something. By Caesar, New York. Then we're going to get to the willful. What is the essential elements of willful failure to file? Caesar, New York. Question on or comment on our subject.
Ralph, how are you today?
Me? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm out of jail. I'm still upright at 74, and I'm getting ornerier and smarter every day, hopefully.
So that's good to hear. You got a great show going on. Ralph, my question to you is, how do you go through the procedure to become a citizen of the state that you live in? Because when you
okay, I have a thing. Let me stop you right there. How do you do that? And you have to get it into the public record. I have a thing that I spent a lot of time researching out, and I went using their naturalization document and just modified it. And you get it into the public record, number one, who you are, and then number two, you go down and I modify the voter registration form. You sign up to vote as a citizen of New York. And if they won't allow you to do that, you want to get it in writing and by what authority, and then we'll be taking those to court because they have no authority to block you as a citizen of New York of voting in New York. They can't do it. I quit saying can't. They have no legal standing to do it.
Now, my other question is, this applies only to natural born, right? This is not for people that are naturalized.
It applies to anybody. Once you're naturalized, you're a citizen. Okay, when you are naturalized, this is why Trump is so right. These anchor babies is all nonsense again. Because an anchor baby, under the naturalization, the only way you can get into our country legally and lawfully is by naturalization if you're not a citizen of one of these United States. And I say these now. Okay, when you are naturalized, you come in as a, quote, citizen of the United States of America, end quote. Not a citizen of the United States. Citizen of the United States of America. That is a traveling citizenship. It started from the very beginning. I've got the old books. They used to do it in courts of record. It hasn't changed. It's still on the original documents. Most people have never seen the naturalization documents. It's a citizen of the United States of America. These anchor babies, which is why Trump is right, are citizens of the United States. They don't mean anything because Congress in 1920s up here said the natives are citizens of the United States. And they're special. They don't pay taxes and all that. Citizens of the United States is nonsense. They just made it up. That's in Supreme Court decisions.
Trump is right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, citizens of these anchor babies is a crock of smoke and mirrors. The only way you can lawfully get into this country, but see, the thing is, what they did with the 14th, they put an overlay of a citizen of the United States so that when you go to vote, that's an overlay over your elective franchise as a citizen of one of the several states. That's an overlay because they didn't have the authority to do it. Now, what they could have done, see, to the blacks, in 1866, they said that we'll give you the same rights as the white citizens. Then they got the 14th in. Then what they could have done in 1866, they said, oh, by the way, in 1870, both the blacks, oh, by the way, now we'll allow you to be naturalized. You won't have the same rights as white citizens. You're equal in all respects. They could have done that in 1866. But they didn't do that because they were looking to set up the 14th to get us to walk away from our standing for a constitutional republic. And then in 1913, they got the Senate, the several states, the legislatures, to quit electing their representation. And then, of course, as soon as 1913, right after that, then all of a sudden the real party of interest that used to be United States in all court cases, easily determined, just go down to the law library if you want to see it in printing, all of a sudden United States of America starts showing up instead of United States.
I see.
Isn't that amazing?
So you're saying, Ralph, change it on the voter ID card, correct?
You have to get your public record. I get the public record done. You can get them done in Alaska. A lot of the states won't allow you to do them. I do it here, and then I modify the voter registration, and I put that public record number on the voter registration. I
got to go down to the courthouse to get the public record modified, correct?
Say again?
Where do I get the public record modified? At the courthouse?
I do it, and it's kind of, and all I charge is $75. That's the cost, the fee to get it recorded and get you a certified copy, and then for me to do it. And I've got about six or eight of them I've got behind on here because I got so much other thing. But that's the correct way to do it. And that
all
gets...
right, so what I'll do is I'll put in an email with that in there, and then I'll have it done by you. You say it's 75, no problem.
Yeah, okay. If anybody sends me an email, by the way, because for somehow they've just inundated me anymore, put IRS in the subject matter, and my email is ralph@alaskaminuteman.com. That's ralph@alaskaminuteman.com. I have an IRS list. I'm going to be publishing another thing. It's $250 postal money order if you want to get on the list. If you can't afford it, you just email me and tell me why you can't, and I will still put you on there. I don't keep in because... you know, they beat us down. So anyways, yeah, okay?
Okay, Ralph, yeah, you're a very fair guy. I got your email. I'm on your list. I'm going to do that then because I've been wanting to do that for a long time. I don't vote since 2001, and I'm sure you know the reason why I've been, you know, so disgusted with the system. And now even more with this whole thing with, well, they had it in the New York Post today, Guillory. They had it on top of a grill. So, you know, it's, I mean,
well, the bottom line is, if we don't want to vote for the Constitutional Republic, we got to get started somewhere. And that is the most important thing because in Minnesota, like I say, that's one where they, why would this Commissioner of Internal Revenue be so interested in getting you to sign up to be a citizen of the United States to vote in Minnesota? Because you're admitting you're a taxpayer and you are saying, I want a non-constitutional government of which Congress has plenary power using the public rights doctrine, and well, we can prove it in Minnesota.
Makes sense. And you got the paperwork on it, and you put
well, I'm going to be putting this out on McAlpine. I am tweaking it up, and then I'll be putting it out on Rappert here. So by Tuesday morning, you will see this stuff in. If you want to be, it'll be in the list. It'll be people on the list. You'll be seeing it, okay?
Thank you, Ralph. And like I said, you're very detailed and to the point. Excellent show. Thank you.
So anyway, let's get back to the willful failure to file. How can I willfully fail to file an implied in law contract that isn't a real contract? Because an implied in fact contract is how they get our automobiles. We signed it away because we give money and there's consideration. It's called an attorney in fact or an implied in fact contract. But the 1040s are implied in law contract, and you can't take an implied in law contract to the Court of Claims if you knowingly and intentionally did it and not under duress. It's a benefit. So what is the willful failure to file? They don't tell us that. You will see that, well, we have all of the elements of the essential elements of willful failure to file were proven. But how are they? Here they are. This is out of, there's a lot of court cases. Let's see, this one here is, this is one that's used a lot, United States versus Grabinski. This is 558 F SUP, S-U-P-P, 1324. That's 558 F SUP, 1324. That tells you it's in a district court, and that's out of Minnesota. That's why I have this one, by the way, because we're working on Minnesota. First one. The defendant was required to file a tax return for the year in question. Whoa! Well, hold up there. Where was I required? Can't go there. Defendant, number two, defendant failed to make such a return. And three, defendant failure was willful. Well, we don't care about willful. You failed to make the return. But the first one is, was required. Duh. How do I get required? I got to be a taxpayer. Who made that frickin' damn determination? Nobody. Was it what taxable years are we talking about? Because that limits it to Subtitle A. And if it is under Subtitle A, who's the withholding agent under your term definitions? Who's going to do this? Duh. Nobody asks these questions. Why? Absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Did you know that in Baltimore, the two of the cops now, that the black mayor told the cops to stand down, black and white cops, oh, just let those folks over there burn. It's all right. Then this gray guy that ended up being dying from a broken neck. And who knows, because it looks like on the when he's walking, but just before he stepped into the thing, he walked because he already had a history of faking stuff to get money. Back in a minute. We're going to do that, and then we're going to sum up what happened.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, we're back here, and I forgot what I was going to say before I left. I guess I was doing something else here, because I don't line my shows out. I just do them ad hoc. If you use the term definitions, just the one, taxpayer, and understand how it works, they have nowhere to go. Now, I don't know what they're going to do because nobody's doing it. I don't know why. But I'm looking into, like I said, the 1943 into legal predicate and some other term, definition, some other definitions that are not used in the later unabridged dictionaries. To further refine, and I have this one case that I got out of the 1860s or 1850s. It's just absolutely amazing that I'm going to be publishing. On how to understand and use the term definitions of Congress and how to read that. I wasn't taught some of this stuff when I went through high school. Never even heard of it, but that's fine. It keeps life exciting. So the question becomes then, essential elements. Everything has essential elements, just like Trump. Why is Trump so bad? He's a racist. What's the essential element of a racist? What are the essential elements that you don't like about his border? Is about bringing in Muslims that want Sharia law. The essential elements of having a fair trade deal. Nobody talks about that. It's always subjective. It's touchy-feely, something that means supposedly absolutely nothing that's not defined. Essential elements. Look at the facts of your news stuff. So what are the essential elements of willful failure to file? Required to file a tax return. Required. For the year in question. There's your taxable year. There's your taxpayer. There's your withholding agent. I just went over. Failed to file. Okay, fine. Well, I got to have a required to, and then failure was willful. And there's a bunch of stuff on willful, I guess. I haven't looked into it, but it's subjective, basically. But it's required. I was required. There's got to be a no legal duty for willful failure to file. Why doesn't anybody bring these things up? You look at the case, the judge was, oh, well, all the essential elements for willful failure to file were proven. Really? But why don't we ever identify them? Why aren't they in the indictment? Why aren't they put in before the trial by jury? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Gray and Baltimore. Guess what? The two cops now have been found not guilty. You know what the two cops did that are really smart? Their attorneys are really smart. They both had bench trials. Because you see, in a bench trial, the facts and the law are tied together. In a trial by jury, they are not. In a trial by jury today, they put forth non-essential elements in the trial. And at the end, in the jury instructions, they will put in the essential elements, usually, in the jury instructions. But then when the jury makes the decision, their facts, they're making them on their understanding of the essential elements that's not explained to them because we can't talk about the law in the trial by jury. So how in the hell are they supposed to know? They have no way of knowing. They've listened to a whole bunch of non-essential stuff. You have a bank account and all that nonsense. FOP gold coins. You see how the scam is done? The judge sits there and lets it happen. The prosecutor, he's in on it. Defense attorney either doesn't know or he's in on it. That's why you want a bench trial. That's why those two cops got off up there, because they actually had to tie into the tent and all that for whatever they charged them with in for those two cops in Baltimore. I hope they all get off, personally. So, well, I guess I hear the music. So anyway, enjoy your 4th of July, and God willing, we will see you next week. And as I always say, watch out for the federales. They're everywhere. Good night, sweetheart.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.